You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of AIDS 2008, the 17th International AIDS Conference. The conference took place in Mexico City from August 3rd through August 8th, 2008.
My name is Paul Sachs, and I'm the clinical director of the HIV program at Brigham and Women's Hospital and associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. And some of the highlights of this conference included a very interesting study evaluating the cardiovascular risk in the SMART study. The SMART study looked at people both on and off treatment and collected data on both AIDS-related and non-related events. We already know that people stopping treatment had more non-AIDS-related events. What this study did was it followed up on the results of the DAD study and tried to evaluate whether receiving abacavir was associated with an increased risk of cardiovascular events. And it was presented by Jens Lundgren, who presented the DAD study as well. And there were two, I think, important findings. One is he found that, yes, there was an increased risk of cardiovascular events in people who were receiving abacavir in the SMART study. And then the second important point was he was able to use stored specimens from the SMART study to show that the patients receiving abacavir had a higher level of C-reactive protein and IL-6. And these are both markers of inflammation. And the way that the people such as Jens are currently postulating that abacavir might induce cardiovascular events is that it induces a state of inflammation, and that if people have underlying atherosclerosis already, that inflammation might provide the sort of tipping point to make them go on and have a cardiovascular event. It's interesting because lipids tend to cause atherosclerosis gradually over time, and in fact that's what was seen in the protease inhibitor analysis from the DAD study. But here, it's not like that at all. Abacavir seems to be a switch that's turned on and off. Once people stop the abacavir, it looks like their cardiovascular risk goes down. So the take-home message from that analysis is that the people who don't have underlying cardiovascular risk factors are probably very safe on abacavir because this effect is not going to cause cardiovascular disease. But people who have other cardiovascular risk factors, it's something to consider in selecting a regimen, and one might want to choose an alternative drug that does not have this link to CVD.
So basically it confirms the DAD data.
It was very much confirmative of the DAD data, and to their credit, they ended up publishing the DAD data in Lancet very shortly after Retrovirus Conference, and also to their credit this time, they're going to publish these data in AIDS in September. So they're really doing a thorough job with the analyses, doing their best to control for all confounders, and even though it is an observational study with all the caveats associated with that, the fact that there have been two studies with this effect is fairly persuasive. Slightly off the beaten track, as I was interested to see a Brazilian study looking at administration of antiviral therapy for patients in intensive care units. And we have this debate all the time about when to start therapy, and this year's 5164 study suggested that we should start it fairly early, even in people who are acutely ill with opportunistic infections. Well, this study, which had to be retrospective, took it one step further and looked at the most acutely ill patients in intensive care units, and seeing whether receiving antiviral therapy improved outcome. And while the study did not find that it improved in the ICU mortality, it did find that receiving antiviral therapy did improve 6 months post-ICU survival. And once again, sort of provides a little bit of supportive data for getting our patients on antiviral therapy as soon as possible, if we can. I mean, obviously, there are going to be numerous extenuating circumstances in the ICU, but it does still come up where you see someone in the ICU and they're taking other medications, either by nasogastric tube or by mouth, and we think, well, should we start antiviral therapy now? It's certainly going to make me think that perhaps we should.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on the 17th International AIDS Conference from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/AIDS2008.